Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello, I'm your host, Jim Dolan. Welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. Today we have some comedy and we have some drama. We'll start off with the drama. An episode of On Stage. On Stage was an above-average drama program on radio. This dates from 1953, and it stars Elliot Lewis and his wife in a statement of fact. After this, we'll have Bob Hope and a number of all-stars starring in, of all things, Superman. So we have something to look forward to after the play.
Kathy and Elliot Lewis, On Stage. Kathy Lewis, Elliot Lewis, two of the most distinguished names in radio, appearing each week in their own theater, starring in a repertory of transcribed stories of their own and your choosing. Radio's foremost players in radio's foremost play. Ladies and gentlemen, Elliot Lewis.
Good evening. May I present my wife, Kathy?
Good evening. And before we start tonight, thank you all very, very much for the letters and cards and telegrams wishing us well on our wedding anniversary. We do appreciate your thoughtfulness. We're very grateful.
Tonight we're going to please some of you and make others of you angry, because the story we're going to do is written for us by E. Jack Newman.
And whenever we've done one of Jack's radio plays, we find that you have a remarkable reaction. You're either completely charmed by the party and Eddie and Casey at the bat, or you take a violent dislike to his plays. Now we hope to get a new reaction as we present E. Jack Newman's new radio play, Statement of Fact.
Yeah.
Evergreen 31291?
Yes.
This is the long-distance operator, sir. Evanston calling. My party will speak with anyone at this number.
Who's calling?
Mr. John Bradford.
All right, operator.
Just a moment, please. Mr. Bradford, ready with your call to Evergreen 31291 in Jackson.
Hello, Chris.
Here's your party. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you. Hello.
Hello, Chris. This is Bradford. I'm sorry to wake you up in the middle of the night.
She say you're calling from Evanston?
Yeah, that's right, Chris. The sheriff here picked up Ellen Dudley a half an hour ago. She was hiding in the restroom in an all-night bus station.
Ellen Dudley?
Yeah. A friend of mine with the State Highway Patrol was in on it and gave me a ring. Just a lucky accident. I found out about it at all. She's being held incommunicado, Chris.
Your friend on the highway patrol, does he have...
Just a patrolman, Chris. That's out.
What is it, dear? Is there something...
Hold on. John Bradford.
Oh, there's something wrong?
Chris.
Yeah?
We have to work fast on this.
I know.
Dear, can't whatever it is wait until morning? Doesn't he realize you need your rest?
Just keep quiet for a minute, will you, Ann?
Sorry, dear.
Has she sent for anyone?
No, I don't think so. Not yet. What do you want to do, Chris?
Wait a minute. What time is it?
3:35.
Well, I can drive there by 4:15. What's the sheriff's name?
Walter Morrow.
Can you get to him?
Oh, I can try, Chris.
Get to him. And tell Sheriff Morrow that the district attorney will hold him personally responsible for the conduct of his office and his officers in this situation. Remind him that the accused is the state's prisoner.
Chris, legally, he can hold her for 48 hours.
Let me worry about that part of it. You make certain he understands what I just told you.
I'll do my best.
Right. See you in a little while, Jones.
I think it's terrible he should call you.
They picked up Ellen Randall Dudley out in Evanston. He'll make a spectacle of this thing, or it can be done right. Where's my blue shirt?
It's in the laundry, dear. I sent it out this morning.
Oh, listen.
Aren't you going to shave?
No time.
Would you like some coffee?
Haven't time, Ann.
Chris, you can't just rush out of here without...
Ann, stop. Please. I have a million things on my mind.
I'm only trying to help you, dear.
I know, dear. I'm sorry.
Here.
Thanks.
Why do you always have to handle these things?
Huh?
When something has to be done right, you seem to be the only one they can count on. Maybe it's because you're the only one who'll get up in the middle of the night.
Cufflinks. Cufflinks.
There. When will you be home?
I don't know. I'll get a nap at the club this afternoon. Don't worry.
There was a time when you told me about these
things. I just haven't time now, dear. Where's my bill?
Who's Ellen Randall Dudley?
Don't you read the papers?
Yes.
It's her.
She's a very beautiful woman, isn't she?
So they say. Coat.
What's she done?
I thought you read the papers.
I just noticed a picture on the front page. I didn't
Goodbye.
Read it. I wish I had some idea why
Read you're... about it, dear. It's all over the papers, the whole story. All you have to do is read about it. You don't have to ask me.
I'll do that.
So long, Ann.
Chris?
What now?
We aren't very happy these days, are we, Chris?
I don't know what we are, Ann. Goodbye.
Bye. Why? Why?
Hey, boys, it's Christian.
Come on, fellas.
I'd hate to be in Mrs. Dudley's shoes when Christian gets through with her.
Oh,
I'm
sorry. Hold it, Mr. Christian.
How about a statement, Mr. Christian?
No comment.
Is she crazy?
That's not for me to say.
We'd like your opinion, Mr. Christian.
I have never met Mrs. Dudley. Pardon me.
Will you present the indictment against her?
No.
Will you file the indictment, Mr. Christian?
An indictment can only be presented and filed by the grand jury. Take your hand off my arm.
Oh, sorry. Does the state have sufficient evidence against Mrs. Dudley to get a conviction?
That is a matter for the jury and the Superior Court to decide.
How about one more picture, Mr. Christian?
Oh, John.
Oh, hello, Chris.
How'd they get in on this?
Sheriff Morrow, I told him you were on the way and he called the papers.
Publicity hound?
Yeah, afraid so, Chris. It's the only important arrest he's ever made here.
Yeah, and he could queer everything with these kind of shenanigans. How long's he been in office?
Oh, 10 years.
Where is he?
In there.
Where's Mrs. Dudley?
She's in there with him.
What?
I told you this was something for him here. Mrs. Morrow sent over a tray. The accused and Sheriff Morrow having a snack together, I'll have you know.
Mm. Come on. Where's she been these last 3 days?
I don't know.
Made any calls yet?
No, I'm sure of that.
Somebody's going to try and get to her.
Just a minute. Sheriff Morrow left orders he's not to be disturbed.
What's your name?
I'm Deputy P.J. Thaler.
Mr. Thaler, I want you to go and stand by that door over there.
Huh?
No one, absolutely no one, is to come through that door until I say so.
I take my orders from Sheriff Morrow.
Taylor, I want... Hey, I thought I told you I didn't want anyone around here.
You Sheriff Morrow?
Yes, who are you?
Dale Christian.
Oh. Mr. Bradford here explained you were on the way.
We can handle this situation all right, Mr. Christian.
Is Mrs. Dudley in there?
Yes.
Is she guarded?
No need to guard her.
Get in there, John. Don't take your eyes off.
Yeah, all right, Chris.
Now, look
no,
here.
No, you look here, Sheriff. You're going to do what I say.
Just a minute there, Bradford. He has no right to go into my office.
He has every right to go in there, and I'll show you why. Here, you see this? It's a warrant issued yesterday afternoon for the arrest of Ellen Randall Dudley. When you see that seal and that signature, your authority is automatically superseded.
No one comes in here and tells me how to run my job.
I'm telling you. You're trying to get your name and picture in every newspaper in the country at the expense of this case. You've already jeopardized the state's position. I'll have no more of it. This is no pressman's holiday. If you have any brains at all, you'll take Mr. Thaler here and go outside and get rid of those reporters as fast as you can.
I'll take action against you for this, Mr. Christian.
No.
See if you can get Bert Pelleton out of bed, Thaler.
This man has overstepped his bounds.
Ellen Randall Dudley?
Yes?
My name is Christian, Mrs. Dudley. I'm the deputy district attorney. All right, John.
What are you going to do?
Just take a few notes, Mrs. Dudley.
What kind of notes?
Well, Mr. Bradford's also from my office. He's here to take notes on what you say to me, Mrs. Dudley.
Oh.
I'm obligated to warn you that whatever you say right now may be used later in the court. You don't have to talk to me unless you want to. Do you understand that?
Yes.
A little later on, they'll take you into Jackson and you can get some sleep. I suppose you're tired.
Yes, I am, Mr. Christian.
Well, this won't take long. I'd just like to have your story in your own words.
Pardon me?
Yes?
I don't understand you, Mr. Christian. You just told me that anything I tell you may be used against me in court.
Yes.
Then I really shouldn't tell you anything.
Mrs. Dudley, listen to me. Listen carefully. Yesterday afternoon, I attended the coroner's inquest held in Jackson. It was an inquest into the death of your husband, Robert Ames Dudley.
Yes.
A coroner's jury there determined that Mr. Dudley came to his death as the result of wounds inflicted by you, his wife. A hatchet was presented as evidence. Mr. Thomas Unger of the police crime laboratory positively identified it as the murder weapon. He showed the coroner's jury that samples of the blood found on the hatchet matched with specimens of your husband's blood. Sergeant Victor Manning also testified and explained that several fingerprints on the murder weapon belonged to you. Two witnesses, your maid, Ethel Lee Barth, and a neighbor, Mrs. Frank Thompson, gave testimony that further incriminate you. Enough evidence was presented for the coroner's jury to recommend that you be taken into custody and held for the action of the grand jury. Do you understand what I've just told you?
Yes, I think so.
In a few days, the grand jury will meet and charge you with murdering your husband. There is no doubt that they will make that indictment, Mrs. Dudley. From there, you will be arraigned and later on taken into a court and tried. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Fine. Now, a frank, honest statement on your part before all these things take place can save a great deal of pain on both sides. Such a statement from you right now may determine the disposition and the proper plea to be entered on your behalf.
What do you mean, Mr. Christian? Proper plea?
You murdered Roger Ames Dudley on the night of the 13th. Now, the sooner you admit that, the better off you'll be. You make a full confession here. Mr. Bradford will take it down. You'll sign it. You enter a plea of guilty. And I promise you I'll do all I can for you with the court. Is that okay?
Suppose I don't admit anything.
Then you can expect no clemency. That, of course, is entirely up to you, Mrs. Dudley, but I'm going to tell you that the death house in the state penitentiary has been filled with people who didn't listen to reason while they still had a chance. This is your chance, Mrs. Dudley. Right here and now. Well?
I don't know what to do.
I've just explained what is best for you to do. You're hooked, and you're going to have to face up to it one way or the other. If you don't take my advice, they'll hang you. I promise you, Mrs. Dudley, they'll hang you as certainly as you're sitting in that chair in front of me. Well, what do you have to say now?
You are listening to Kathy and Elliot Lewis on stage. Tonight's play, Statement of Fact. Another radio first for CBS Radio's wonderful Friday night music show, There's Music in the Air. Tomorrow night, There's Music in the Air for the first time by Dmitri Tiomkin and Ned Washington, Academy Award winning songwriters for High Noon. There's Music in the Air will present their song Return to Paradise from the new Gary Cooper, Roberta Haynes movie of the same name. That's on most of these same CBS radio stations.
Couldn't find the aspirin around here, Mr. Christian. The drugstore's not open yet, but I did find a couple of Emperin tablets.
Those will be fine.
Now, here you go, Mr. Christian.
Thank you.
How's she feeling?
She's all right.
Mr. Christian.
Yes?
I thought I'd better tell you. Sheriff Morrow ordered me to call Mr. Pelleton.
Oh?
Yeah, he ordered me to do it. Mr. Pelleton's on his way over here right now.
Thank you for the information.
Mr. Christian, I worked out of here for Sheriff Morrow ever since he's been in office. I think I ought to tell you I'd be a little careful about the way you handle him, Mr. Christian.
Thank you. I can handle Sheriff Morrow.
Oh, I'm sure you can, Mr. Christian. I never doubted that for one second. No, sir. I know you know your job. I know you're trying to get a job done here, and you don't want no hocus-pocus about it. I guess I can't blame you one bit. I'd do the same thing if I was in your shoes and wanted a conviction as fast as I could get it. I just want you to know, Mr. Christian, that I'm on your side.
I appreciate that.
When you're made district attorney and you're appointing special investigators, I hope you'll remember me, Mr. Christian. P.J. Thaler, Evanston Sheriff's Office.
I'll remember you, Mr. Thaler. Feeling any better?
I guess so. I'm sorry.
Of course. Here, these will help.
Oh.
Now, I hope you've decided to use your head about this, Mrs. Dudley.
I want to, Mr. Christian.
Sure you do. Suppose you start right from the beginning.
Yes. Do you have a cigarette?
Oh, sure. Here you go.
Thank you. You smoke my brand.
Really?
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, now?
Yes.
You were married to him 8 years, is that correct?
Yes.
I understand you met in Europe?
Yes, in London during the war. I've read about you in the papers, Mr. Christian. They say you're going to be the new district attorney. You don't look much older than Roger. He was 36.
I'm 34. You and Mr. Dudley had been having trouble for some time?
Oh, yes. For years. I imagine you've had some experiences being in the position you are. You talk to many people in a situation like mine?
Quite a few, Mrs. Dudley. Last July, you had Mr. Dudley arrested when he came home drunk and threatened you?
Yes, but he got out of that very easily. They didn't do a thing to him. Roger was awfully good at talking himself out of things.
You didn't prefer charges against him?
No, it wouldn't have done any good. He would have gotten out of it anyway. He had a law degree, too, you know.
So I understand.
Roger never went into practice. He didn't have to. He didn't have to do anything. That was his trouble. His father left him quite a bit of money, and he simply didn't have to do anything at all.
Should we get on with this, Mrs. Dudley? It's past 5 now.
5? Well, I've been up all night long. This makes 4 nights in a row I've gone without sleep.
As soon as we finish here, you can get some sleep.
I don't feel one bit sleepy. When I first came here, I was dreadfully tired. I thought I could sleep for a week. Now I'm not the least bit tired or sleepy. Isn't that funny?
If you'll just start with the events that night.
What is today?
Friday.
I'd be playing bridge this afternoon. There's a dog show tomorrow evening I wanted to go to, but I won't be able to go anywhere now. Do you feel sorry for me, Mr. Christian?
I beg your pardon?
Do you feel sorry for me?
Well, it makes no difference how I feel, Mrs. Dudley. You're an accused prisoner. My job is to get a statement of fact from you. That's why I'm here.
Oh.
I've explained this once. I'm your friend here. In a courtroom, I'll represent the prosecution, and I'll do everything I can to see to it that you hang. Unless you make a complete confession now. Is that perfectly clear to you, Mrs. Dudley?
Yes. And if you have a record of always getting a conviction, that'll help when you run for office, won't it?
Mrs. Dudley, my professional career has nothing to do with us. If I weren't here talking to you, someone else from my office would be here. It's a job that has to be done. I happen to be the one who is doing it.
But wouldn't it be better for you if you had more of an audience than Mr. Bradford over there? Wouldn't it be much better if you had me in a courtroom with reporters and photographers?
Mrs. Dudley, do you want to talk to me now? Oh.
I don't mean to make you angry, Mr. Christian. If all you've told me is true about what happened at the coroner's inquest and what will happen when the grand jury meets, you can hang me right now.
I certainly can.
Yet you're here to get my story. You must be uncertain about something.
I told you I'm trying to help you, Mrs. Dudley, but I warn you I am not uncertain about anything where you are concerned. Make no mistake about that. I have a duty to the people of this state. That is to learn the facts of this case and present them before the court. I intend to do that with or without your cooperation. Well?
May I talk to you alone?
You understand why Mr. Bradford is here?
Yes, but I'd like to tell it to you alone. It can't possibly hurt anything to talk to you first, can it?
All right, John, wait outside. I'll send for you on Indian, John.
Right, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, Mrs. Dudley.
I killed Roger.
Tell me how it happened.
I was having some people over for dinner that night. I was busy in the kitchen with the maid fixing the dinner. When Roger came downstairs, I asked him to do a simple thing, just a little thing. I asked him to start a fire in the fireplace. It was pretty chilly out, and the fire always made that room look so warm and nice. Have you seen my house?
Yes, Mrs. Dudley. Go on, please.
I heard him down in the basement getting things ready for the fire. When I looked at the clock, it was past 7. The fire hadn't even been started in the fireplace. Our guests were arriving at 7:30. I asked Roger to come up and make some martinis and let the fire go for a moment. He called me a name.
Why?
I never knew why he did things like that. I went downstairs to ask him why he was so angry. He called me another name. It wasn't just the name or him being angry. It was all the things he'd done to me before, the arguing and fighting and the insults. When he started up the stairs, I picked up the hatchet and I hit him with it. He fell down.
Then what did you do?
I ran upstairs and put on my coat and left the house.
Where have you been these last 3 days?
Right here in Evanston. I had a room at the Evanston Hotel until last night. Then I thought I'd try to get away, go to another city, Chicago or New York. I found out who I was at the bus station.
Did you ever think about killing your husband before this?
Oh, yes.
Did you know you were going to kill him when you went down to the basement?
Yes.
Did he go out with other women?
Not that I know of.
Did he ever beat you?
Oh, no.
He gave you a nice home, all you needed.
But he took my life away from me, Mr. Christian.
What?
He took my life away from me. He stole my life.
I don't understand that, Mrs. Dudley.
When I was going down the stairs that night and saw him standing there, I suddenly realized all he had taken from me. Everything that was young and fresh and wanting. And I despised him for it. So I killed him.
But why did you have to kill him? You could have divorced him, left him.
Don't you see what he had taken from me, Mr. Christian? There was nothing left for him to steal from me, or nothing left for me to give another man. Are you married?
Yes.
Then you know what a man can take from a woman. Mr. Christian, am I someone you'd want to be married to if this terrible thing hadn't happened? Am I someone you'd be proud to have for a wife?
You might be.
That's all a woman needs, is to be wanted. Am I old and ugly and unattractive? Am I shallow or flighty? Look at me, Mr. Christian.
I am.
No, stand up, please. Look at me. Close.
Yeah.
Would you want to be loved by me?
You're very lovely, Mrs. Dudley.
Would you?
Yes.
Well, I was nothing to Roger Dudley, nothing. And my love was nothing to him. I was a fixture, a decoration, an animal. And he took all of it, my love and my life, and then he stood at the bottom of the stairway and called me a name.
Mrs. Dudley. Mrs. Dudley, listen to me. Listen to me. No one saw this happen. The maid was upstairs in the kitchen. Mrs. Thompson only heard it from next door. Listen to me. You can claim that you did it in self-defense.
What?
He came at you and you picked up the hatchet and you hit him with it to protect yourself. You tell it that way when Mr. Bradford comes back in here. There are a dozen good men in this state who'd be glad to represent you in court with a story like that. I'll be opposite them. You can get off. He made you kill him because it was either him or you, and you ran afterwards because you were frightened. In the end, you'll be charged with second-degree murder, and at the most, you'll get a suspended sentence. Don't you understand what I'm telling you? You can be free.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Christian?
All right, let's have Mr. Bradford in here now, please.
Right.
Wait a minute.
Hold it.
I can never be free.
You know what you're saying?
You haven't understood anything I've said. He took my life away from me a long time ago. Can't you see, Mr. Christian, I don't have any life to live now.
Mrs. Dudley, you have everything to live for. Look, you're young and beautiful, and you want and need all of the things that life can give you.
Too late, Mr. Christian.
You'll get at least a life sentence. Listen, listen.
A few minutes ago, you were telling me about your duty to the people of this state, Mr. Christian. Tell me about it now.
Yeah.
All right.
I wanted to talk to you alone like this to make sure I was right. You're no better than he was, Mr. Christian. You'd take a woman and do the same thing to her that he did to me. Until you kissed me just then, I wasn't a person to you. I was an animal, a trapped animal. And if I let you help me escape from this trap, I'd just be escaping into a smaller one. A worse one. With you. You're another Roger Dudley.
Okay, Chris?
Chris? Are you ready to make your statement of fact, Mrs. Dudley?
Yes.
All right, John, take it then. From the beginning, Mrs. Dudley, just as you told it to me,
Statement of Fact, starring Kathy and Elliot Lewis on stage. In a moment, Mr. and Mrs. Lewis will tell you about next week's play. This Saturday morning, it's a most unusual challenge for Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle. The famous adventurer of darkest Africa meets a juvenile delinquent and encounters problems of a very different sort in Tarzan and the Hot Rod Kid. You'll also want to hear the latest episode of Gangbusters, CBS Radio's exciting true crime cases that names names, places, and dates in thrilling accounts of police action against the lawless. Remember, this Saturday night on most of these same CBS radio stations, Tarzan and Gangbusters. And now once again, Kathy and Elliot Lewis.
And that was another of V. Jack Newman's searching studies of ourselves, this time set melodramatically.
He's an excellent writer.
Some friends new to Onstage joined us tonight. Joan Danton, who was the telephone operator, Jack Crucian, who was Special Deputy Thaler, and Tyler McVeigh, publicity-happy Sheriff Morrow.
While Joseph Kearns played my assistant, John Bradford.
Truda Marson rejoined us to play your wife, and Byron Kane was the reporter. We thank them all.
Since this is spring, and through the window we can see the sun, and the green grass, and the new flowers, and the days that have gone by, we thought it a good time to present a story that suits the season.
And so next week we're going to do a dramatization of a warm and charming book, almost forgotten now, that perfectly states the season for us. It was written by the late Leonard Marrick, and it's called Conrad in Quest of His Youth. You'll like it.
Until next week, thank you for listening. And good night.
Good night.
Music for tonight's story was composed and conducted by Fred Steiner. The Kathy and Elliot theme is by Ray Noble, and the program is transcribed and directed by Mr. Lewis. George Walsh speaking. America's 45 million radio families listen most to the CBS Radio Network.
If you were thinking about casting Superman, one of the names that probably wouldn't come to mind is Bob Hope. Well, Bob has other ideas, and here he is in Superman. with a roster of guest stars. From November 10th, 1946, Superman.
From one of the great classics of the day, we present a mighty dramatization featuring stirring adventure, tender love, and the triumph of right over might. And what is the greatest example of classic literature of today? Superman. Tonight's cast includes the mad scientist, Dr. Bikini, portrayed by Bela Lugosi. His insane assistant professor, Atoll, played by Sterling Holloway. The city editor, played by Wendell Niles. Oh, that's me. And the King Sisters, played by the King Sisters. For Superman's girlfriend, the beautiful girl reporter of the Daily Planet, Lois Lane, who else could we get but that five-star final, that banner headline, that extra edition, Paulette Goddard? And now, for the man who is the champion of the oppressed, guardian of the fundamental rights of the people, man of a thousand steel muscles... What's that up there in the sky?
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
Oh, it is not. It's Bob Hope. On the city room of the Daily Planet, the headquarters of Bob Hope, who's really Clark Kent, who's really Superman. There's tension in the air. Everyone is waiting for a big story to break. Then suddenly, there's a loud cry from Clark Kent.
Stop the presses! Stop the presses! Stop them!
Kent, what's breaking?
My foot, it's caught in page six. Say, I must be big news. My big toe got a two-page spread.
Oh, Kent.
Forget it, Chief. Look, I got some great news items for you.
Let's see. Kent, you want to ruin me? This item is from the Daily Bugle. Well, this one's from the Bugle. You stole this one from the Bugle. Oh, what's going to happen to the Daily Planet?
I don't know. What's it say in the Bugle?
Oh, you.
And you. Better not lose your temper. I just got an offer from the Bugle.
You did?
Yes. They say if I kindly step outside, they'll beat my head on the pavement.
Kent, you're absolutely useless. On top of that, you're never around when I need you.
Something happened today?
Yeah, over at the auditorium, the policeman's show was going great guns till Bob Hope made a surprise appearance. Children screamed, women fainted, and 6,000 people were trampled in a mad rush for the exits. And where, may I ask, were you?
I was home, listening to Red Skelton.
Kent, you're just not a reporter. Why can't you learn to stick your nose into other people's business?
But I'm not that type. I just can't peek into other people's lives. It's rude, it's impolite, it's childish, and besides, they keep pulling down the shades.
Kent, as of now, you're transferred to the circulation department.
Circulation department, yes, sir.
Well, don't just stand there. Rub my legs.
How'd you get a laugh like that? You must have a relative still in the service, huh?
Well, never mind. Get out of my office.
Yes, sir. Oh, the chief gets so mad. As plain Clark Kent, I have to pretend I'm a fool and a weakling. As Superman, I can drop the pretense. I'm a fine reporter with my supersensitive hearing. I can hear everything with my X-ray eyes. I can see everything. I can see through stone walls. Don't get ahead of me. That's not the finish. I can see through stone walls.
Guess I'll drop by the YWCA again today.
Clark Kent, I'm ashamed of you. I heard the chief bawl you out. Now, Clark, why don't you stand up for your rights? Where's your spine? Where's your courage? Where's your backbone?
Sorry, madam, but a box of forever yours for your noble try. You see, fellas, she thinks I'm a weakling, but I'm really Superman. I can even get bread. But I'm really not a weakling, Lois. I just don't care about girls.
Oh. Oh, please, Clark, put that ferret back in your pocket and listen to me. Are you a man or are you a mouse?
Put out the studio cat and I'll tell you. Lois, don't put me off any longer. Go out with me tonight.
I'm busy.
Tomorrow night.
I'm busy.
The next night.
I'm busy.
Busy, busy, busy. What are you, a girl or a party line? Lois, I'm going to prove to you once and for all that I'm a man.
You are?
Yes, look at this, my birth certificate. About 6 o'clock. Time for my vitamins.
Oh, here, I'll open the box for you. What are all those pills?
Well, this one's for calcium. This one's for podium. This one's for iron.
Well, what's this one for?
That's for me. Fourth one always pays off.
Oh, Clark, you weakling.
Listen, Lois, stop belittling me. What's wrong with my shoulders, my chest, my biceps?
Nothing, Clark, nothing. But you keep leaving them in your other suit.
Hey! Let's let him come in again. Hey, just got a tip on the big news story.
What do you got, a secret tunnel there? What is that?
What'd you say, Chief? I said I just got a big tip on a news story.
Well, I'm ready to go, Chief. No grass will grow under me.
This telegram says it'll break any minute.
No grass under me.
It'll take... It'll take courage. Can you make it, Miss Lane?
While she's gone, I'll pluck out those dandelions. Can't get over that guy hitting the jackpot so early. Chief, why not send me? Can you cut this thing all right out? Chief, why not send me? You still mad at me?
Can't I fire you if I didn't get such a kick out of filing papers on your nose?
You're not too secure, you know.
Well, if you must, you can go along with her. You can hold her pencil.
Gee, thanks.
No doubt on the way you'll get yourself in trouble. You'll probably get killed.
Gosh, Chief, thanks for the chance.
Let's go. Here's a cab. Let's get in.
This is a big story. I'll bet...
What?
I hope we get there in time.
I can't hear you, Clark.
We may get a scoop.
For goodness sake, Clark, stop running alongside the cab and get in. I'll pay the fare.
Where to, mister?
Straight ahead.
I think we ought to turn left.
Straight ahead.
Yeah, but if...
Never mind, straight ahead.
Okay.
Okay, take a left.
Oh, Clark, look. Look up on that building on the ledge of the 82nd floor. There's a man starting to jump. He changed his mind. Clark, you've got to do something.
I am. I'm quivering the best I can.
Oh, but that man must be rescued. Oh, if Superman were only here.
And she's right. This is a job for Superman. I'll do the job so fast she'll never notice I'm missing. Here's the building. I'll duck into this room and change into my Superman clothes. Okay, I'll try another room. Hmm.
Now I am Superman. Now to the 82nd floor. Up, up and away. Oh, darn, forgot to open the window. There we go.
Well, what do you want, fancy pants?
Don't jump, mister. Think of your wife.
Got no wife.
Well, think of your kids.
Got no kids.
Well, think of Paramount.
What's Paramount?
Okay, jump, you MGM spy, you...
Say, who are you anyway?
Everybody knows me. I'm brave and fearless. I'm the champion of the people, defender of truth, guardian of the underdog, and enemy of the underworld.
Oh, I know you. I've heard your program.
You have?
Yeah, you're Mr. District Attorney.
No, I'm Superman, and I'm here to save you. I'll take you off this ledge.
But I've got to jump. You're here. I'm disgraced. I've done a terrible thing. A terrible thing.
What'd you do?
I put bananas in the refrigerator. Goodbye, cruel world.
Alas, he jumped. Mercy sakes. I must dive down and rescue him before he hits the ground. Oh, brother.
Get away from that window, you beast.
Oh, well, back to work. Gotcha. I'm such a butterfingers. Oh, well, I'll catch him on the first bounce. Now I've got you. You're safe on the ground, thanks to me. Am I not wonderful?
Yes.
Hey, where are you going?
Back to the ledge, and next time, mind your own business, you pet.
Well, now to change clothes and get back to the cab before Lois notices I'm missing. After all, I've been gone 2 seconds already.
Clark, did you see Superman rescue that man?
I couldn't look. I closed my eyes.
Oh, Clark, if only you were Superman.
Little does she know that I am me. Okay, driver, step on it. We got to cover that story.
As the cab speeds to its destination, our scene shifts to a spot in the Hollywood Hills where we look in on a couple who will bear watching.
Fresh.
I guess that pair doesn't want to be watched. So we move farther up the hills where we look in on the workshop of the two mad scientists, Dr. Bettini and his assistant, Apo. What awful thing is being hatched in this... What awful thing is being hatched in this closely guarded hideaway?
All right. Scalpel.
Scalpel.
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Sponge.
Sponge.
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Suture.
Suture.
Alcohol. That's enough alcohol. Is the experiment succeeding?
Gee, it's moving. It has life. It is breathing.
All right, Apple. You can get off the egg now.
Oh, thanks, Chief. Now can I rest? It's so tiring sitting over a hot egg all day.
So, you have been working hard. So I'm going to double your weekly allowance.
Gee, you are?
Yes. This week you get 2 pints of blood.
Oh,
bravo, you are smart. You have a head on your shoulders.
Oh, get it off! I see what you mean.
Now we have to check the formula for our new machine.
Oh, yes. I'm so nervous. How does it go again? X plus Y equals 3 times the tangent of Z if O is 9 corpuscles.
I must have absolute wife to figure this out. Now let's see. Noisy king sister upstairs. I can't concentrate. But, you know what we can do with those girls?
Yeah. Archie, what can we do with it? You know, they look awful strong.
I've got it. We will use them to test our new machine.
Oh, mercy, yes, the machine.
As soon as they start singing again, we will sneak upstairs and corner them.
Okay. Ah, you King Sisters, you. We've got you.
Well, come on, Marilyn.
I've got you in my power. And I'm cruel and wicked. I will do horrible things for you. You will suffer. Suffer! Suffer!
Oh!
What are you screaming for?
Gee, you scare me too.
Golly, the King Sisters may be facing a fate worse than death. However, we have a request from overseas asking us to return to Clark Kent and Lois Lane in the speeding taxi cab. Since your wish is our command...
Clark, shame on you. Always getting fresh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you had to get fresh.
I'm really sorry.
You really are? Okay, driver, let him back in. He won't tickle your ears again. Oh, Clark, if you were only a gentleman like Superman.
Superman. I ought to tell her I'm Superman with the piercing vision, the X-ray eyes, the super-sensitive hearing.
Oh, Clark, will you pay the fare?
Huh? What was that?
I got the meter stub right here in my hand.
Where?
Listen, it's $2.50.
Oh, I mean, hey?
He wins. He wins, driver. I'll pay. Clark's liable to fumble around all day for the money.
I am not. I'll give the money to him quick as a flash. There.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, well, Lois, wasn't I quick at handing him the dough?
Well, I'll say it. Isn't every man is that good at finding things in a woman's purse?
While Clark Kent, who is really Superman, and Lois Lane, who is really Paulette Goddard, speed back to the Daily Planet, which is really a crummy paper, let us see how the King Sisters are coming along with the two mad scientists.
Let us throw the King Sisters into the soap machine.
Oh, yes.
King Sisters, forward! March!
Hey, Alice, bring up the rear. I can't. I'm not built that way.
Oh, they're in. Now, start the machine. These girls will make four wonderful bars of soap.
Think we can get 16 cakes out of each bar of soap?
No, they are still the King Sisters. No matter how you slice them, you will only get 8 to the bar.
Yeah. Gee, just think. Next time they sing, it'll be soap operas.
Yes.
Well, isn't that enough?
Now, stop the machine, and we'll examine the product. The bars of soap are coming out. Look at those huge soap bars.
Yeah, king size.
Now we know the machine works, and we shall get the master ingredient that will make our soap the best in the world.
You mean...
Yes, I mean Superman. He's the only man who contains lanolin.
Now we switch back to Clark Kent and Lois Lane, who are snooping around the mad scientist's house in an effort to find out what happened to the King Sisters. How do they know what happened to the King Sisters? They peeked.
We must be near the Palladium.
You're not afraid, are you, Clark?
Afraid? Fear is a stranger to me. Sounds like my sponsor.
Clark, you are scared. Your nose is like chalk.
I know. I've got to stop writing things in the sidewalk with it. Well, so long, Lois. I've got an appointment with my barber.
At midnight?
Lady Barber.
Oh, well, I'll have to go in alone. I'll ring the doorbell. The door's opening.
Hello, I'm Tarzan of the Apes.
But this is Superman. You're in the wrong comic strip. What are you doing here?
Oh, just looking for some apes.
He left me alone in this dreadful house.
Well, good evening.
Hello. I'm Lois Lane of the Planet.
You may interview us in my private office.
My, what a charming house.
You like it? This house has stood for 300 years. I moved in the day it was built. Not a stone has been touched. Nothing altered. Nothing repaired or replaced.
My, you must have the same landlord I have.
Just a minute. Miss Lane, now that you know all about my soap machine, you must die.
But I don't know anything about your soap machine.
I just told you. So you have to die.
Yeah, isn't it wonderful how we can find excuses for killing people?
We'll throw her in right now. Grab her, Doctor. Oh! Not there!
Oh. Unhand that woman. It is I, Superman. Just in time for another thrilling rescue. I am here in the neck of time.
You mean Nick?
Neck.
Nick.
Get these guys out of the room and I'll show you what I mean.
Superman! At last we have you where we want you. We are going to make soap out of you.
Yeah, we can break you in half. Use half of you in the tub, half in the kitchen for dishes and light laundry.
I do hope I'll be kind to undies. You fiends are mad. You can't kill me. I'm indestructible. Go ahead. Try to kill me. Go on. I double dare you.
All right. I'll use the machine gun.
Yeah, it only tickles.
All right. Give him the axe.
Only tickles.
Hand grenade!
Only tickles.
Ouch!
Oh, what happened?
Lois, you're standing on my corn.
Shame on you, Superman, the man of steel.
Well, a guy can rust.
Enough of this. Superman, are you ready to get into the machine?
All right, you fools. I will show you the folly of your ways. I will step into your ridiculous machine.
Superman, Superman, lots more such with Superman. With your long lasting key, it's a soap of secret deal.
Hey, what's happening at home?
What's happening? Good gracious, he's turning the machine into soap.
Then our experiment is a failure. There is nothing left to do but die. Goodbye to the world.
Song, Pop.
Hey, you are coming home.
Ah, the forces of justice have once more triumphed over those of evil.
Oh, Superman, kiss me.
But I'm Superman. I don't waste time with girls. This is the hardest part I ever played.
Superman, you kiss me.
Ah, but I may destroy you with one embrace.
I'll chance it.
Come into my manly arms.
Oh, my, he disintegrated quickly.
Thank you.
that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.